It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. So begins Charles Dickens' classic novel, A Tale of Two Cities. Do you remember reading it? Maybe you read it last in high school, or maybe you've never gotten to it, but in this opening section, Dickens is describing how complex a single time period can be. On one hand, it was the best of times, the age of wisdom, the season of light. But then there's also the shadow side. It was the worst of times, he tells us, the winter of despair, and instead of going to heaven, they were all going the other way. Taking our cue from Dickens' Tale of Two Cities this morning, we are exploring today a tale of two touches. We have before us two stories from Scripture, which I would wager very few of you have ever put together. Am I right? The story of David and Abishag, and the story of Jesus with the children. Both are touching stories, and touch is what we're talking about today. Physical touch is our fifth Lenten love language. We're going to find out today how the stories of Jesus and King David are both models of certain kinds of touch. Touch is very complex and incorporates both the good and the bad, as Dickens helps us see. And our challenge today is to look at both stories of touch and to discern together what God is teaching us from them. As we begin, let us pray. Creator God, touch us by your grace. Lead us to know more about you and who you would have us be. Give us ears to hear, and Lord, give me your word to speak. In Christ we pray, amen. Amen. Johnny Carson once said that as a kid he was naive, so he used to sneak behind the barn and do nothing. He didn't know how these things worked, and you chuckle. Lisa thought it would get even less of a laugh, so I'm glad about that. There is something built into us as human beings which makes us crave physical contact with other people, isn't there? Maybe it's the fact that the skin that surrounds our bodies contains hundreds of thousands, even millions of sensory receptors. These receptors help us to perceive hot and cold, hard and soft, pleasure and pain. It's through these receptors, through our skin, through our touch, that we perceive the world around us, and that we can, and with these touches, that we can show love for other people. In his book, The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman writes this: almost instinctively, in time of crisis, we hug each other. Why? Because physical touch is a powerful communicator of love. In a time of crisis, more than anything, we need to feel loved. We cannot always change events, but we can survive if we feel loved. Physical touch communicates love. Are you in touch with touch? I wonder, who are the people that you touch regularly as a way of showing love for them? Is it your family? Maybe some close friend? Special someone in your life. One way or another, we need to be in touch with touch because we are physically designed for this kind of contact. We are made to be in touch with other people. What was that Sprint telephone ad from a few years ago? Reach out and touch someone. Reach out and touch someone. Someone once said, man does not live by bread alone, but I've heard it said, man does not live by breath alone. It takes more than just words sometimes to show that we care. It's been long demonstrated that children and infants need loving touch through holding, hugging, and kissing. There's a technical word, marasmus, which comes from the Greek, meaning to waste away, wasting away. And it describes infants who wither up and lose appetite because they have not been touched enough. If a baby is not touched, they can literally die from lack of contact. Are you in touch with touch? King David certainly was. Our first touching tale takes us back, way back, to the time of ancient Israel and King David. The Bible tells us that David was old and advanced in years, and that although they covered him with clothes, he could not seem to get warm. And a series of family intrigues in his life, rebellious sons and untrustworthy friends, had led David to become rather isolated in his aging years. His physical coldness mirrored in some way his emotional state. He was isolated from the ones he loved. And like a marasmus baby, he was wasting away from lack of physical touch. But before we begin to model our lives on the behavior of King David, let's take a look at the details of this story. It could be almost shocking. In what sounds like language out of a fairy tale, the king sends his people into all the countryside to seek out a fair maiden who will come and live in his castle with him. And although we're assured by the ancient chronicler that Abishag was just a platonic companion, a kind of human electric blanket, if you will, it's still clear that their relationship was about touch. Mostly, David's royal need to have someone lie in his bosom, as the Bible puts it. But we don't hear much about Abishag's needs, do we? We don't hear her voice. She is not given a chance to speak. So while David has the human need for physical touch, his example falls far short of what loving touch is all about. And loving touch is what we're talking about today. Unwanted or inappropriate touch does not communicate love, but its opposite. And David held all the cards. He was the king. He was older. He was wealthy. In fact, he was Abishag's employer. Clearly, the point for us today is that we must be discerning in our touch so that our touch is always loving and appropriate. The tragic circumstances of abuse within the North American church make this point crystal clear, don't they? Author and professor Leonard Sweet writes that the church cannot lose touch with touching. But how can we best do that? How can we be a community of loving touch? One of the things we do here at PPC, which Andrew alluded to earlier, is that we have all of our Sunday school teachers background checked. There's a 6-month waiting period before teachers come into contact with kids in our church school. We have a policy where 2 adults will be in a room with children at all times. And all these are guidelines that are intentionally in place to remove the specter of inappropriate touch and to build an environment where we can hug each other, where we can greet each other warmly, without suspicion, without problems. Because we want to be in touch with touch, we need to find a better biblical model for understanding why the Lenten love language of physical touch really can communicate love for others. Appropriate touch, loving touch. This leads us to our second touching tale. It's a story about Jesus. One of the most compelling aspects of Jesus' life and ministry was that it was so real, so immediate, so tactile. Jesus does not appear as an otherworldly, spiritual being floating around in the atmosphere, a disembodied soul. Rather, he's flesh and blood human. He lived a life of engagement with the world around him and was constantly touching people. He was touched, and they touched him. He touched them in healing. He touched them in blessing. He touched them in love. Jesus is our model for loving touch. The stories about Jesus' touch were circulating in those times, and people knew about them. There was the story about the woman who touched the hem of his garment as he walked by. There's the story about the friends who carried their friend and cut a hole in a roof of a ceiling and lowered him down into a room just to be touched by Jesus. It's clear from Scripture that Jesus had a ministry of touch. And when his disciples spoke harshly to those mothers in our story, Jesus set them straight. He said, "Let the little children come to me, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And they came to him, and he touched them. He prayed for them. He put his arms around them. He blessed them. In doing so, Jesus was demonstrating that even the littlest ones are beloved in the eyes of God. And even the little ones need to be touched with love. Jesus' ministry affirms a central conviction of Christian faith, which is that our bodies are good. Did you know that? In Genesis, we read that humans are created in God's own image and are called very good. The importance Jesus placed on physical touch demonstrates again that our whole selves are important to God, body and soul together. There's a story from a physician named Joanna Siebert that I want to share with you today. You probably don't know her. She's a doctor, and she writes that she was visiting an 8-year-old girl who was dying from cancer. Her body was disfigured by the disease and by the treatments. This girl was in constant pain, and to Dr. Siebert it seemed so unfair, so unjust. And on this one day, she entered the hospital room and was overpowered by what she saw. The girl's grandmother was lying in bed with her, her huge body embracing this little girl. Siebert writes, "I stood in awe, for I knew I was on holy ground. I will never forget the great, gentle arms of this grandmother. She never spoke while I was there. She was holding and participating in the suffering that she could not relieve. And somehow, her silent presence was relieving it. No words could express the magnitude of her love." This grandmother's embrace is what the Christian notion of loving touch is all about. The hospital room was indeed holy ground, because it was the place where God's love was being shown through the physical bodies that we have. Now, as we talked about today, we need to keep the tact in tactile. We need to know when and how to touch, don't we? Finding ways to give loving touch to someone can be like giving them a cool drink of water in the desert. It's just what they need. But we keep in mind, we need to do this well. And I'm not suggesting that you climb into any beds this week in the hospital, or I don't think Penny would appreciate that. But I am making this challenge to us all. May we find ways this week to practice the Lenten love language, the Christian virtue, the way that Jesus himself did it, to reach out and touch someone with love. Express your love for someone this week the way Jesus did. Put a hand on their shoulder. Get your arms around them. Give them a piggyback ride. Whatever works for you in your situation. Show them that you love. Show them that you care. All God's people said, Amen.